discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Well, life is often well described as a journey. And it is easy to find joy when we're on top of the mountain and the sun is shining beautifully on us. And yet, our God never stops working in the darkest valleys when we can't imagine how we can keep going. For the talented Texan Natasha Owens, it was losing her dad far too young that was that dark place. And yet, through that tragedy, she found a new song, a new purpose, and an amazing musical ministry. The singer-songwriter's latest award-winning album is called We Will Rise, and her latest single on radio stations across America is New Eyes. Welcome to the show, Natasha. What a blessing to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, it really sounds like the past year has just been basically a whirlwind for you and your family as your music has just taken the country by storm. Are you managing to keep all of the plates spinning in the air today?
Goodness, that is a, I would say, daily question, but it's probably by the hour or by the minute. I have so many different, from family to we own our own businesses to music, that I told my husband the other day, I said, I absolutely feel like I'm in a tornado. Everything's spinning around and I just can't quite grasp it. Hmm. And he's such an optimistic guy. He said, well, look at the bright side. You're moving forward. But I'm like, I'm in utter chaos moving forward. But we're making it. We're making it daily. Haven't dropped a plate yet.
Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations on that. I feel like you have many tips to offer to many of us as well. But, well, goodness. I mean, this story, perhaps, if you'll allow us to just go back to where it begins, really, this musical journey. I mean, God's ability to bring purpose out of the darkest moments in our lives is just one of those most incredible parts of who He is. And that is really the genesis of where this story begins. Your dad passing away totally out of the blue at just 58 years old. Can you take us inside how his passing really shook you and your family?
Yeah, well, it was just a typical day here in Texas, and we had had plans to, he was going to see the grandkids play softball or baseball that night, and got a call out of the blue. I was on his side of town, was supposed to be eating lunch with them that day, and got busy at work and had to postpone it. And got a call from my mother that he had been shot. And he was cleaning his guns, dealing with a dangerous gun, sitting in the wrong position, and it just, there was a bullet in the chamber that went off and hit him in the heart. And so 90 seconds later, he's gone, and life as I knew it just completely came to an abrupt halt. Mm. It took months to get out of the shock. I was a daddy's girl, and so he was almost like both parents to me. So I'm the oldest one in the family of the two girls. So I stepped up and was the strength, was the rock behind the family, planned everything, tried to be a rock to my kids, who were the only grandkids at the time, and kind of put myself last and my grieving process last. And it took me about a year to deal with my grief.
You have this very evocative description of what it was like punching the pause button to your life, and try as you might, you just can't quite get going again. And you were battling really some pretty deep depression at that point, right?
Not until the year mark. I felt for that first year that the pause button had been pushed, and you're right, I couldn't quite get going, and people would say, are you still dealing with grief? And life would still go and pass me by, and I kept getting slower and slower and slower. I just wanted life to stop for a minute so that I could catch my breath, is the way I felt. I was numb, and because I suppressed my grief for so long, right after his one-year anniversary, I started down spiraling very quickly. I had entered into from shock, I went straight to anger. And I questioned God. I questioned why. He was such a great man. Why did you take him from us? And why is such a dangerous question, because 9 times out of 10, you will not get an answer. And so when I didn't get an answer, I became so angry because I felt like it was God's fault. Which, it's natural and human to do that, but looking back on it, it wasn't God's fault because he was there for me. I just couldn't see it then. And so I down spiraled within a 6-month time period into the darkest days of my life. Most days I couldn't get out of bed. And it was because of the things that I spoke became my reality and the things that I thought. And then it progressed very quickly into, the enemy whispering in my ear telling me that the world would be a better place without me. It happened so quickly.
Wow.
But God crossed my path on the perfect day that he needed to cross it.
This is a fascinating story, what happens next. If you're just tuning in, the voice of Natasha Owens, the singer-songwriter behind the award-winning album We Will Rise. Her latest single is called New Eyes. And not just the voice, the whole human being on the other end of the phone line. Can you confirm that, Natasha?
Yes, I'm here. All 100% Texas.
Yes, yes. Well, it's amazing. I mean, in the midst of this grief, then comes this offer that really sounds like it took you completely by surprise. Your pastor comes to you and says, hey, would you consider becoming the church's worship leader? This was not something you saw coming, right?
No, and it wasn't in reality the perfect time either, because I was depressed. I was in bed. I couldn't be a good mom. I couldn't run my company. I couldn't be a good wife. And so here is a pastor asking me to take on another full-time job on the side and get up and motivate people and tell them how great God is when I didn't feel like he was great at the time. And he called me 3 times. I kept turning him down pretty brutally. You know, I said, if you could see my life, let me give you a glimpse of it. If I had something left over to give, it wouldn't be to the church. It would be to my family. I really thought I was saying the right things.
Sure.
But God's pretty funny about he will always throw you a lifeline when you need it. And he knows what you need. And rationally, the human side of us wants to wait for the perfect timing, but there never is a perfect timing.
Huh.
And so that 3rd time that he called me, he told me, he said, I don't want you to say one word. I just want you to listen. And he said, I feel like this is your last lifeline. I feel like if you don't grasp it now, you won't make it. And I was having an extremely rough day. And I told him, he said the right words to me because I think God gave them to him. He said, are you tired of feeling the way that you're feeling? And that day I was just done. I was so tired of the fight that was going on in my mind. And so I told him, I said, I can't pray. I can't read my Bible. Is that the type of music minister that you want? And he said, that's the type that God wants right now, because it's a process and you will get there. But I'm going to allow you to come up on my platform not being able to pray and not being able to read your Bible. How many pastors would do that?
My word.
He knew that it was the right thing for me to do. And I thought he was being selfish, just needing someone. I had been over the praise team at the time that my dad died, but never wanted to step forward into any kind of spotlight. I had high anxiety of stage and talking in front of people.
Really?
Yeah. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. But I took it. You know, I was not equipped. And looking back on it, that entire process of those years that I was there as music minister, it was a training ground for what I'm doing now. I had to work out my anxiety on that small stage in front of that small amount of people. You know, my mouth would go dry. I couldn't even speak at times. But God helped me through that, and I had a pastor that had enough patience with me because I was not equipped for that position. It was extra hard for me, but I needed to know all of that to proceed into what he really wanted me to do, which is what I'm doing now. And I have a whole restoration ministry now where we're just trying to give a little hope to people who are going through something faith-shaking that just doesn't have any hope lying in front of them, just to say, hang on until you can feel that God's there, you know?
Wow. God is so good, and you confirm it once again with this. And I can't get over the anxiety part of this story too, because I'm sure that you had heard again and again in your faith story that, oh, you know, it's not that God necessarily calls the equipped, but he equips the called. But you went ahead and you lived it.
I lived right through it. And and in fact, it was those exact words that when I got into the professional world of actually doing the CD, and God was all in that story. I've got a whole amazing testimony, but that we don't have time for today. But my very first concert was with Michael W. Smith, which is so backwards, but it was on my dad's birthday.
Oh my God.
My very first concert. And I had actually turned it down because my anxiety had taken over, and I'm like, I've never sang these songs live. I don't have a band. And when they told me when the date was, I said, I'll do it. And they said, what changed your mind within seconds? They thought I was crazy. And I said, because that's my dad's birthday. I feel like I just need to jump out by faith and do it, and God will provide whatever I'm lacking. And that led, my first big tour was with Jason Crabb, who's a multi-Grammy winner.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so intimidated because it happened so quickly, and I felt so non-equipped. I felt like a kindergartner running with a bunch of college professors. But from the stage, you're still held to the same level. There's mm-hmm. no to the audience. You're in the professional world. There's no room for mistakes. At least that's what I thought. And I was so intimidated, and I kind of tanked one day with my anxiety. And Jason looked at me, and he said that exact same statement that you just said. Mm-hmm. He said, Tosh, God never calls the equipped, but he will equip who he calls, and just rest in that. And from that point forward, it's like I was able to overcome most of the anxiety.
Wow.
From that statement.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Natasha Owens is with us today on the road, the singer-songwriter behind the award-winning album We Will Rise. Her latest single is called New Eyes, and I want to talk about this amazing new song in just a moment. There is this fascinating, as you talk about the amazing testimony of getting from the church worship platform to getting inside the recording studio, there's this friend, right, that tells you, hey, you need to go and you need to start recording your music. How instrumental did that end up being to this whole process?
Huge, because he did not know. The church that we were going to actually fell apart, and I had resigned as music minister, and it had crushed me because I felt my whole recovery process was in that title, right? And so it was extra hard for me to walk away from it.
Sure.
And I had prayed that night, and I said, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to seek out a new music minister's position because I feel like there's more that I'm supposed to do. And I said, just guide me. The next morning at about 10:30, I receive a text from a guy in Nashville that we'd brought in for like choir rehearsals and things like that, teaches new songs, choir clinics. And he said, have you ever thought about doing a CD? And I called him and I said, what made you think of me? He said, you've been on my heart since early this morning. I don't know. And I said, well, I've always wanted to do one. I've just never sat down and did it. And so I said, that's my answer to my prayer last night. So I knew that I needed to create one. I knew it needed to be songs of restoration, like, that helped me. But I didn't know really what God had in mind. I just knew we needed to do it to the best of our ability. And our first album, I Made It Through, was that record.
I can't resist asking about this too, because you mentioned your first concert being with Michael W. Smith. There has to be sort of an interesting story behind that as well, I'm guessing.
Well, my manager is out of New York, and he has managed pop and rock and has never even touched or been near a Christian artist before. And a guy that worked for our company sent my music once the CD came out to someone, and it fell in this guy's hands, and he called me. His dad was dying of cancer. He felt something in my music, but didn't know if he could help me. And we made our agreement on Father's Day, believe it or not. And then he calls 3 weeks later because he knew the promoter of Michael's show in Long Island, New York. And that's how I got on the show. But then what was so cool about it is Michael's bass player was the producer of the I Made It Through CD. And when I called him and told him, he said, Michael doesn't let anyone open for him. You have to be mistaken. And I said, no. So the producer, the creator of this music, is playing on stage with Michael that night, which was kind of cool.
Wow.
It ended up being my dad's birthday, and we became friends with Michael and did a few more things with him past that. But that's how the door was open.
Wow, wow. And that's really the perfect word to use when dealing with Michael W. Smith would be friends.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
All right.
Forever.
That's right. The newest music is so powerful. The themes of freedom and being surprised by God in your latest single, New Eyes. Where does this song come from for you?
So I had come from a very, very strict religion. Grew up eighth generation of this particular denomination. And all throughout my life, I kind of saw God through doing works, if that makes sense. A lot of religious people kind of can relate to.
Oh, yeah.
So where, you know, everything, if I just fasted and prayed, if I just did this, then God was going to do something in my favor or love me more. And God showed me through this whole process. We kind of broke the bonds of religion and became non-denominational. But the big pivotal point in my recovery was he put on my heart one weekend to do a study of the different types of love. And I had been raised and I had heard about agape love, but I wasn't living it because my brain was still programmed to really do things through works. And he showed me so much through that study that I felt like, oh my goodness, it's such a simple fault. There's nothing we can do to cause him to love us any less or any more than he already does. We can't disappoint him so much that he doesn't love us, nor can we buy his love with works. And it was a simple thought, but it was life-changing, not only to the way I thought, but to my recovery, because I had felt so guilty about the way I acted and the things that I said and thought in the midst of that recovery that put a barrier between me and God, too. And so to actually see him for the first time through that concept of his love blew me away. It was like my vision. I had never people say that you look through rose-colored glasses sometimes. It was like that. It was like the glasses were being pulled off, and I saw him in a way that I had never seen him before.
Wow.
So that was the inspiration behind that song.
The latest song called New Eyes on radio stations around the country. It's from the album We Will Rise. The singer-songwriter Natasha Owens is with us. You have said the true mission of life, I feel, the purpose, the reason why we're made is to help people along the way. And this story that you're telling us, I mean, this equips you. I'm certain of it. To speak into people's life in a way that many of us would not be able to. Have you found that to be true? Is this platform that you've been given, how does that look in life? And how has God made it possible for you to reach people?
Well, I really thought that when we went on the road and would talk to people, it was going to be a very limited ministry because I really thought it catered around grief. But I began to realize it was a very universal message because when you go through something faith-shaking, it doesn't matter what it is, you're going to still go pretty much through the same stages of grief. You're going to go through the shock, the rejection, the unbelief stage. Then you're going to go through the anger and the acceptance, and it's the same. So we've been able to touch people that are walking through paths that I've never been able to walk, but are going through the same emotional and same battles in the head. I really thought when we started out that making it through a trial was my mission. And God has completely derailed me off of that making it through is not the true mission, that rising above is the true mission. And people say, well, how can you rise above? in my opinion, there's only one way to do that, and that's to share our testimony. Because the scripture says that we shall overcome by the word of our testimony.
Right.
You get true, you know, you're not just surviving, just making it through a trial, but helping others along the way is truly rising above your circumstance. It's the most selfless thing that we can do, because it becomes not about us at that point. It becomes about God. And we point the way back to God and how great He is and say, if He can help me through a trial, He can help you, you know, be a living, walking testimony.
Wow.
That's
just amazing. There's so many inspiring parts to this. And I have to say, I can't get the thought out of my head of what you said earlier about the anxiety that you had when it came to performance. And I came across what you'd said as well, that at a certain point you just said, Lord, you know, whatever you want me to do in this life, I'm just going to do it. And I wonder, if somebody is in that place today where they're thinking, okay, I really sense that God is nudging me to do something, and I really think He somehow made a mistake. We know how silly that sounds, but that's what we think.
Absolutely.
What would you say to that person?
Well, we want to rationalize it, and we want to put it in the different compartments, and we want to have it in the perfect timing and have complete control over it. But I have found, at least through my recovery, that I have had no control over it at all, and I'm kind of a control freak, so that part has been very scary to me, because, you know, there's a point and a time and a place and for everything. God has turned this thing completely upside down. If there's something that you feel like He's nudging you to do, just jump out by faith and do it, because He will equip you along the way, He will guide you along the way, and He will never give you the big picture, because we would be so overwhelmed at what He really wants us to do. He gives you little pieces along the way to let you know that you're going the right direction. Pray for guidance, but just jump out there, because a lot of times when He calls us to do something, when He wants us to do something, it's in the worst time possible, but it's exactly what we need, because I realized that me standing on that platform and ministering to other people, the situation turned from me to God. And as I was obedient to Him, He healed me in the process. Every note that came out of my mouth on that stage, I got more and more and more healing. So it's kind of a twofold. He's calling you to do something in the hardest time of your life because He needs to heal you, and that's the way that He does it.
Wow. so much truth today from our new Texan friend, Natasha Owens, the singer-songwriter. The award-winning album is called We Will Rise, the latest single called New Eyes. And just a few minutes left. We don't want to say farewell without giving people a chance to learn more about you, where they can go to grab the music and discover even more about Natasha Owens. Where would you suggest they start that journey?
You can just go to NatashaOwensMusic.com, and it will direct you to how to get the music, how to listen, how it will send you to YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and all the things that I don't have time to control some these days. I always have a teenager come up and say, "Do you have Snapchat?" And I'm like, "I have Snapchat. I'm way too old." But I will like to say to your listeners that I always say this from the platform, because I never want my ministry to stop at that platform. That's not what really our purpose is, right? Mm. It's to go out and perform and sing our songs and then turn away from the people who need us the most. You can always get me through my Facebook, which is Natasha Owens Music. I have other people doing Twitter and Instagram and all that, but Facebook is mine. And if you need something, message me, because I get those, I read those, I do more ministry off the platform than I do on, I feel. So I just want to be available if someone needs me.
Wow. Well, it has really been a treat to meet you and to learn more about your story. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for being brave and for going up there on that stage even when you were scared to do it. It's such an inspiration to talk with you, Natasha.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my story. I just pray that whoever's listening, that there's people out there that needs to hear what I had to say. Do I?
and now I'm seeing. Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.